Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
We're going to talk about, continue on with the series. We talked on Sunday, you know, talked about fear, and Pastor Vicki had that word where she said 2023 is the year that you need. And we talked about being fearless, and tonight we're going to talk about being full of faith, and then we're going to finish off with being surrounded by favor. So go ahead and say this: I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
I'm full of faith.
I'm full of faith.
And I'm surrounded by favor. Again, I hope you get that into you. I have it as my screensaver, like I said, and I woke up the other morning, and that was the first thing that I saw. And I'll tell you, if you keep that, you know, on your lips and in your heart, it'll change things. It'll change your outlook in life. You know, you will walk fearlessly. You'll walk above doubt and unbelief. You'll be full of faith, as we're going to talk about tonight. And then you'll be surrounded by favor as well. And 2023 will continue to be the year that you need, but really the year that you've got victory as well in any area of life. Amen. So again, we talked fear on Sunday. So just kind of a brief recap, if you weren't here, we talked about where fear comes from in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. You don't need to turn there. You can just follow along here. But again, in Genesis, you know the story. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said to tend it, to keep it, to take care of it. Gave them dominion and authority. He said, hey, you can have anything that you want in here except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, they messed up. They disobeyed God. You know, it's why we're in the mess that we're in here now. But verse 9, when God came to see, and he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said this. He said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And that's when sin came in. That's when fear came in. All, you know, Adam had given up his authority over to Satan, and he was tricked by that, you know. And so again, that's why we're in the mess that we're in today. But the good news is that Jesus redeemed us from all this. And we studied in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And you've got to know that the devil's works are destroyed. They, you know, he has no place in us anymore. But again, you've got to know that you've got that dominion, you've got that authority. Otherwise, he'll trick you, he'll deceive you, just like he did Eve back there in the garden. So again, praise God that Jesus bought this back, and he paid a great price for that. Amen? And we talked about, you know, the tools that God gave us to overcome. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we talked about those three things in detail. So again, if you missed the message, go back and listen to it. And the practical application of Brother Hagin, where he said, a thought unborn or thought unspoken dies unborn. And that's the thing again, thoughts are going to come. You're going to have random thoughts. You might be sitting in church and some random thought comes. But again, never speak that thought out. Don't give it life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So don't give that thought life. And again, you know, you got to fight thoughts with words. And how do we fight those thoughts? With the Word of God. That's the number one thing. And so if you follow those directions, you can be fearless as well in 2023. So that's what we're starting the course off. So again, tonight we're talking about being full of faith. And you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be in verse 1. We're going to first look at what is faith, and then we're going to look at why is faith such a big deal. We're going to answer that question here tonight. But my main goal for you tonight is this. It's for you to know that you're in the right place at the right time. When we were down at that Kenneth Copeland conference, it was very interesting. I don't run around and say, God said this to me and spoke that to me, but I know it was interesting. The moment I walked in the doors, it was literally in my spirit, I knew that God said, this is where you belong and these are your people. And it was interesting. And I'll tell you, it was a wide variety of people. It was a little bit older crowd and whatnot. You know, Kenneth Copeland's up there in age, in his 80s, but still, you know, again, that's what he had impressed upon my heart. And that's what I want you to get the goal of tonight is, again, knowing you're in the right place at the right time. Tonight's going to be a little bit of the basics of faith, but the fundamentals, that's what we always come back to. That's why we're going through this book again in small groups. It's the basics of faith, how faith comes, how faith grows, how you activate your faith, how you receive from God, all of those different things. That's what we're studying, or we are studying in the small group. So make sure that you're involved in that as well. So starting out again, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Amplified, I think this does a great job of explaining it. It says, now faith is the assurance or the title deed or the confirmation or a word I really like. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for. The things hoped for, they're divinely guaranteed. They're guaranteed in the Word of God, amen? And it's the evidence of things not seen, which that means it's the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact. Again, it's certain of what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So our physical senses are, you know, seeing, taste, touch, hear, and smell. That's human faith. That's how we operate with our physical senses. And God's kind of faith, the faith we're talking about here, is like the sixth sense, right? It's taking from the unseen into the seen realm. So faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't need to turn there, but we talked on Sunday of 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because God is love. That's what we talked about. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. How does this work? Hope is simply the blueprint of what it is that we're believing God for that comes from His Word. And that's the key there. It's got to come from His Word. It comes up in your spirit. You know, it's if you're going out and building a house, you're not going to just say, hey, build any old thing that you want to build. No, you're going to give them a blueprint, and that's what the builder is going to construct the house off of, is that blueprint, those plans. You see it in your mind's eye, then you put it down on paper, and then they go out and they build that. Hope is that blueprint. Amen? You might have hope that you'll be healed, hope that your finances will change, hope that this place will be filled to the rafters with standing room only. That's hope. Amen? But our faith is what gives that hope substance and brings it from the unseen realm, from that blueprint, into the seen realm of actually manifesting here in the natural. That's what faith does. And again, why is love the greatest? Because God is love. And without God, there's nothing to anchor our hope to, nothing to be confidently expecting God for, and nothing to give substance to our faith. So our faith and our hope is always in God and always in God's Word. That makes sense? So that's a simple explanation of what faith actually is. So second question here, why is faith such a big deal? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to answer the question, why this faith thing? Why do we talk about faith all the time? You know, throughout the years, we come back to faith many times. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say that. The just shall live by faith. And it says that numerous times throughout the Bible. You don't need to turn there, but Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, they all say, the just shall live by faith. So why is it such a big deal? Because again, we're supposed to live by faith. And sometimes looking at what something is, it's almost, you know, just as easy to look at what it is not. And faith is not a movement. Faith is not a group of people. You know, Faith Family Church is not those faith people over there that are a different group of people. It's not that. It's not a movement. It's not a group of people. It's not even a doctrine, okay? It's a way of life. Remember, the just shall live by faith. That's how we live. It's how we operate. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of believing. It's a way of speaking. It's a way of responding when adversity comes into your life. The just shall live by faith. Amen? So again, why is faith such a big deal? Because faith is how our Father functions, and it's how we're supposed to function as well. It's how God operates, and it's how we operate, because we're His children. And Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. He operated by faith. When you read through, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the life of Jesus, obviously you see the character of Jesus, but when he casted out demons and he healed the sick, it was by faith. He spoke. That's how he operated, and that's how we're supposed to operate. Because the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you and I if you're a born-again Christian. So there's two types of faith, and I touched on one already. We've got human faith, and then we've got the God kind of faith, which is the supernatural faith. You know, the vision of Faith Family Church and why this was originally, you know, birthed 40, 41, 42 years ago was that God put in Pastor's heart to come up to Sioux Falls and build a supernatural church, right? By faith, a supernatural God. So you've got human faith, again, that believes what it can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell, the five physical senses, and it operates like this. When you came in here, you simply sat down in a chair by faith, believing that when you sat in that chair, it was going to hold you and it was going to sustain you up. You know, or we flew down to Dallas last week. You know, when we got to the airport, you know, I, by faith, stepped on that airplane. I didn't know who the pilot was. I didn't know what his credentials were. You know, I didn't know what the flight path was exactly. But by my human faith, I could look at the airplane and I didn't see one of the wings, you know, hanging down by, you know, a few of the rivets or one of the engines about ready to fall off or anything like that. So again, by my human faith, I simply sat down in the seat, buckled my seatbelt, and rode from here to Dallas. That's human faith. It's natural faith. And God has given everybody human faith. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, we all have human faith. The second kind of faith I touched on was that God kind of faith, the supernatural faith. And again, going back to Hebrews chapter 11, if we look in verse 3, it says this. The Amplified, it says, by faith, that is with an inherent trust and an enduring confidence or certainty in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God. We understand that the worlds or the universe or the ages were framed and created, that they were formed or put into order and equipped for their intended purpose, here it is, by the word of God. That's the God kind of faith. So that what is seen with the physical eyes was not made out of things which are visible. So again, the God kind of faith, it's spoken out. So it's by faith. Human faith is something that we can, again, see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. That's our human faith. But the God kind of faith is that unseen realm, and that's how God created the earth, right? He spoke it into existence. Psalm chapter 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9 says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So again, we're looking at how God operates. He operates by faith. Amen? This is how he functions, by speaking. But there's no doubt. There's no fear. There's no worry or concern. God doesn't have any of that in him. And doubt is a big limiting factor with us in our faith journey. Three types of doubt. First type of doubt is simply ignorance. You know, it's a person that, you know, like my wife, she didn't have any church background whatsoever. So when she came in, it was a completely blank slate. Whatever you told her out of the Word of God and showed her, she began to have faith because faith comes by hearing. So she, you know, looked at the Word of God, heard the Word of God spoken. That Word went into her heart. It created faith. Amen. And she was able to walk that out. So that first type of doubt of ignorance, you just don't know what you don't know. Doesn't mean you're stupid or foolish or anything like that. You're just ignorant. You just don't know. The second type of doubt is this. It's like I was. I grew up in a denominational type church. Was led to believe certain things, that the gifts of the Spirit had passed away. You know, tongues and all this stuff. I thought it was crazy. I didn't understand living by faith. I didn't even have a clue what spiritual authority was. I never heard any of that. Matter of fact, I never even heard what it was to be born again. I was taught that if you were baptized as an infant and you went through confirmation, you were good to go. Even though after confirmation in eighth grade, we went and played the Ouija board. How crazy is that? It's not a joke. I'm just saying it was what it was. We didn't know any better. We were ignorant, right? So when I came in to Faith Family Church, to a church like this, and I was taught spiritual authority and all that, I had to unlearn a lot of things, right? And then I had to relearn them. So it was more difficult for me. And then there's a third kind of doubt. It was, you know, the type of doubt that the disciples were taught when they were trying to cast the demon out of the young boy that was throwing himself into the fire and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus came and he cast the demon out, and then he said to him, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So what was going on there? They were using human reasoning and human faith rather than the God kind of faith. And prayer and fasting increases or helps develop your faith, because what happens a lot of times, I know this happens to me, I lay hands on somebody, and if I'm looking at them instead of operating by faith and I don't see anything happening or anything manifesting right now, sometimes I can get, you know, caught up in what I'm not seeing rather than just believing. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So those are the three types of doubt. And the way to overcome that doubt is, again, by putting the Word of God in. Amen? That's how to have the God kind of faith. So again, our Father functions by speaking the Word out. He's got no doubt, no fear, no unbelief. And that's our goal. We want to be the exact same as our Father and operate the same way that He does. Amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." That's how He did it. He just simply spoke it. Let there be light, light be, and light was. You know, when Jesus healed people, He simply said, be healed. He doesn't, you know, say, God, you know, Father, I pray and I hope that you heal this person. No, He spoke to it. He commanded it. He didn't command God. He commanded the situation to change. Just like God speaking the world into existence, He created something out of nothing. Really, it wasn't nothing. It was out of faith. And faith is a substance. Amen? Psalms 19 says this in verse 1. It says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship." So if you just simply look around, you see God's handiwork. You know, I always say it takes more faith to be an atheist and believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. I mean, you think about that. I mean, the chances of God, you know, of a big bang and the earth spinning just the right speed and tilted on the axis and the seasons doing what they do and all that stuff. Or us coming from an amoeba that turns into a fish and then a monkey or an ape or whatever. I'll tell you this. You go to a zoo, I don't care how many billions of years you give those monkeys and apes, they are never going to create an iPhone. They're never going to create anything, right? You don't see them sitting around building stuff, do you? They're monkeying around or they're aping around or they're doing whatever they're doing. It's just foolishness to think that we were evolved from them. We were created by God, right? In His image and in His likeness. So see, looking at those scriptures, His words created the world. And see, our words create our world. Does that make sense? So His words spoke the earth into existence. Our words speak our world into existence. How we operate in our household and, you know, how you treat your spouse and how you treat your kids and how you operate at work and your attitude and all that stuff, that comes from your words. Amen? Turn to a very well-known chapter and book here in Mark chapter 11, and we'll look at how our words create our world. Mark 11, verse 22 through 24, we know it well. It says, "Have faith in God," or have the God kind of faith. He says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." There's that unbelief again. No doubting in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of all that, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's the God kind of faith. He spoke the earth into existence. We speak our world into existence. We're not creating something out of nothing. Many times we're creating out of what God has already created. Amen? With the circumstances and situations. But if you look around at your life and your lifestyle, it's simply a product of your words. I say it many times, your thoughts create your words. Your words create your actions create your habits, and your habits create your life. So you can look at each stage of those things. If you don't like where you're at right now in any area, your spiritual life, your relationships, your health and fitness, your finances, come all the way back to your thinking, to your believing. What are you believing? Because whatever you're believing is what you're speaking out, and that's what's ultimately creating your world. It's attracting certain things into your life and repelling other things out of your life. You know people that you've been around that it's like their spirit animal is Eeyore, right? They're always down, and how's it going? Oh, good, you know, and then they just want to dump out on you, right? Their attitude and the way they speak, and it's like, man, you see when they call and you just want to avoid the phone call. Right? Because they're going to just dump on you because they've just got this negative attitude. Right? And it's a repellent. And that's not God. That's not godly. God's a winner. He's a champion. He's positive. He never loses. There's nothing bad in God. And we're His kids and we're supposed to act like Him. And I'm telling you, that should be attractive to the world. What we have. We should be set apart and different. Amen? Amen. So again, we're created, or we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And before I say that, Charles Capps said it this. He says, you can have what you say, but people are always saying what it is that they have. You think about that. You can have what you say, but you're speaking what you have. I've got an Achilles tendon that's been flaring up and bothering me. If I ever run on the treadmill the next day, it's like I pay for it. But if I keep saying that the thing's flared up and it's hurting and it's in pain, that's what I'm going to continue to have. Versus commanding it, hey, Achilles, in the name of Jesus, you need to come into alignment to the Word of God. It sounds goofy, but again, that's the God kind of faith. I'm not commanding God to heal my leg or my Achilles. I'm commanding the Achilles to come into alignment with God's word. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, I declare my Achilles is healed. Right? Faith appropriates, or it takes hold of what's promised in the Word of God. So Genesis 1:26, it says this, and God said, let us make man in our image. God's image, he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are made in God's image. And he says, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But again, we are created in his likeness. So we operate like God. God is a speaking spirit, and so we're a speaking spirit. Mark 11:22 through 24. Have the God kind of faith. Believe it in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. But again, you can confess all day long. You can just parrot things out, say it 50 times, but if you don't believe it in your heart, there's no faith attached to it. Your words are containers. They contain life or death, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell when somebody believes something that they're speaking out or not, right? So how do you change your belief? You get in the Word of God, you speak it out, your ears hear it, it goes into your heart, faith comes by hearing. The more you hear it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the more you speak it, the more you speak it, the more you hear it, the more you hear it, the more you believe it, and it's this perpetual cycle. You can't just do it one time and expect results. That's why really before you even pray something out, you really should dig into the Word of God, read it, meditate on it, receive it, allow it to go into your heart, and then when faith comes, then speak it out. Amen. And that's a little bit of a time process a lot of times, depending on what level you're at here and what development stage. And there's all levels, brand new all the way up to people doing this for 30, 40 years or more. Amen? But that's how faith comes and that's how faith grows. So how does faith operate? Ephesians chapter 2, turn there in your Bible. This God kind of faith. So why is faith important? What is faith? And now how does God operate? Well, he operates by faith. And in the same way that you got saved or got born again, if you have a relationship with God tonight, it's like this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. This was the first scripture I ever memorized. I'll never forget. I was deathly afraid to talk in front of people. And so we had to share the scriptures in front of the room. And man, it was crazy. But it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I want to focus on by grace you've been saved through faith. Okay? So faith appropriates or it takes hold of what God has provided. So grace is God's part. Okay? Faith is our part. But praise God, God has actually given us the faith. Right? When we got born again, the measure of faith actually came into us. But so what is one thing, God's grace, it's Jesus dying on the cross for us and being rose from the dead and now seated at the right hand of the Father. And when you put your faith and trust in him, in God's grace, right? And you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For by grace, you are saved through faith. It's faith in God's grace. That word saved is also the word sozo. It's the Greek word sozo. It means to save, be healed, delivered, protection, and made whole. So it's not just a ticket to heaven only, even though that if it were just that, it would be amazing. But it's all those other things as well. Salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, and made whole. Sound mind, all of those things. So we could say it like this. For by grace you've been healed. By grace you've been saved and delivered and protected and set free through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's always by God's gift of grace, and that's what we put our faith in. Amen? So how do we receive this free gift of grace? By faith. Romans 10:9, I just quoted it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth, there's that word believe again, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sounds a lot like Mark 11:22-24. Believe and speak. It's how we receive from God. That's the God kind of faith. So we receive salvation by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth, just like we receive everything else from God. Healing, deliverance, all of it. Believe it in your heart, confess it out of your mouth, and that's how we receive it. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So once we receive salvation, now where does faith come from? We're going to find out it comes from God, and how do we develop that? Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me," there's that word again, God's part, it's grace, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think," because here's the thing with grace, it's undeserved, unmerited favor. I know Andy talked about mercy the other night, and you know, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We didn't deserve to have Jesus pay the penalty or the price for sin for us, right? That's what we deserved. But he showed mercy on us, and not only showed mercy, but also grace by allowing us this free gift of salvation. And it says, "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Do you know that each one of you has been given the measure of faith? The same measure that Paul got, Peter got, and even Jesus got. Do you believe that? You've been given the same measure as Jesus has. So why are we not doing the works that Jesus did? Could be doubt, unbelief, fear. Even though we're fearless and full of faith and surrounded by favor, it could be any of those things. But again, when you got saved, that same measure of faith came into you. But it's up to us to develop that measure of faith, to develop the measure of faith. We do that by reading the word, by meditating on the word, by speaking the word out, by acting on the word. Amen. I explain it like this a lot of times. This is how I recognize it, you know, being in fitness for years. You know, your body has muscle tissue and fat tissue. It's got muscle cells and fat cells. Okay, and when I was a competitive bodybuilder, I was a lot heavier than I am now. My muscle size was a lot bigger, but I had the same amount of muscle cells back then as I have now. They were just expanded back then, and now they've just gotten smaller, right? So the only way to change the amount of muscle cells or fat cells in your body, you could have liposuction, which would suck fat cells out, but if you keep eating the way that you ate before, the fat cells that you have will still expand in size, and it can bring body fat back on your life. Okay, so you've got muscle cells and fat cells, and by feeding and supporting lean muscle tissue, by exercising and hydrating and sleeping and doing all the things, you create an environment where those muscle cells will increase in size, getting you bigger and stronger. It's the same way with faith. We develop faith by reading the word, meditating on the word, receiving the word, activating the word out by speaking it out of our mouth. And that expands the word or develops the word in our life. But it's up to us, again, to develop the measure of faith. And if you put this thing down, the measure of faith is going to decrease in your life. Just like if you walk in the gym and it's your first time, 100 pounds is going to feel heavy, but maybe over a few years, you get up to 300 pounds. But if you quit working out, after a while, you'll be back down to 100 pounds. It's the exact same way. You've got to develop the measure of faith. Does that make sense? Because you were given that measure. And it's up to us to develop it. I know this is elementary and basic, but again, it's the ABCs of faith. Starting out 2023 with not just knowing this, but doing it. Because faith without corresponding action is dead. And the Bible says that we're not only to do the works that Jesus did, but greater works than he did. Casting out devils, healing the sick, all of those things. And walking in victory in every other area as well. Turn back to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. We're going to see here where this faith comes. It says, "But what does it say?" And the question is asked of of what they were talking about earlier. It was talking about the righteousness of faith versus the righteousness of the law. Because, of course, before Christ, the Jews all lived by the law, right? They sacrificed animals, and there were 630 laws that they had to live by. So they're saying is back then it was the righteousness of the law, but now Paul's saying it's the righteousness of faith. And he says, but what does the righteousness of faith say? It says this, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So why is faith such a big deal? Because again, it's how our Father God operates. And it's how we're supposed to operate as well once we get saved and understand the authority that we've got in this. So the word of faith. Put up that quote of what Kenneth Copeland said about this. I thought this was really interesting. The word of faith is not a denomination. It's a spiritual understanding that all of God's word is to be trusted and relied upon in faith. It's a spiritual understanding. It's not a movement. It's not a doctrine. It's not a group of people. It's a spiritual understanding that this word is to be trusted and relied upon by faith. That's the word of faith. I know when I was originally exposed to the word of faith, again, grew up denomination, so you know all this stuff for me was like way far out there. But you know my story, you know, it was back in 2001, 2002, somewhere around there, living down in Florida, not by choice, but in prison. And so I'd spent 8.5 months in jail. That's when I got born again. Melissa got born again as well. You know, started coming to church here, got bonded out. I was out for 11.5 months. That's when we got married. That's when Noah came along. But then I had to go back to prison. And originally I had signed a 7-year plea agreement. But my attorney promised, hey, once you get to prison, we're going to turn that 7 years of prison into probation. So I was like, all right, sign the deal. Once I got to prison, he quit answering our phone, right? So I had 7 years in prison. So, you know, I checked myself in July 3rd. The next time I saw Melissa and Noah was around December sometime. I think Noah was around maybe 8 or 9 months old, somewhere around there, you know, just kind of starting to crawl and whatnot. So again, 2,000 miles away from home. I was born again. I was spirit-filled, but again, just didn't really have a good understanding of what I had my hands on and whatnot. And so I remember going back to my jail cell after she left, right, on my prison cell. And I was sitting on the back porch, and I just told God. I was like, you know, I know there's more to this than just what I've been taught down here. You know, down there it was like strong, it was south, so it was like, you know, old sinner saved by grace, right? Just this dirty, rotten worm, unworthy. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. It was all about getting to heaven. And so I'm an analytical guy, so I simply went back to my prison cell and I was like this. I said, God, I think I was 30 years old at the time. And I said, hey, if it's, you know, at 30 and I'm going to live to 85 or 90 or however long I'm going to live, but the goal is simply to get to heaven, but I'm going to get my teeth knocked in between now and then, I'm done. I'm cashing it in. I wasn't saying like, hey, on Friday, I'm going to commit suicide if you don't do something. But this was the conversation I had. I said, I know there's more to this book than just a free ticket to heaven. And then we just kind of hold on tight between now and then. I just knew it in my heart. I didn't know much about it, but I just knew there was more to it. And you know what the reason why was? Because before that, I was an athlete, a bodybuilder in business. And in everything we did, it was about winning. And then I become a Christian, and now all they talk about is losing, right? How unworthy you are, and just this dirty old rotten sinner, and just this defeated mentality. And that was not normal. And I was like, this just doesn't even make sense. I'm not about this. And so praise God, he honored my prayer within, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days down the road. I was walking down the hallway, and I stayed in a place, it was called Florida State Prison. So it was the old death row. And then across the way, they had built the new Florida State Prison. So I was in a minimal facility, but we had where it was 2-man cells. And then in the back, you know, we had a back porch, our own shower. It was actually a pretty good place to be at, except for being really old. And I remember walking down the hallway. I'll never forget it. It was like this old yellow, you know, paint. And there was this basically like a shelf on the wall, and people would stack a few books up there, and there was a Word of Faith magazine literally set up here just like that. And I remember walking by it, and I stopped, and I looked at it, and I thought, Word of Faith. And I saw Rhema Bible College, and I just remembered, I was like, man, Pastor Mike and Pastor Vicky, I think they went to Rhema Bible College. So I remember getting that magazine, you know, and pulling it out and looking through it. I read a couple articles, and right away I was like, this is it. This is what I've been missing out on. This is faith. This is basically what's going to get me out of my situation. Now I was guilty of sin. I had accepted the plea agreement. I had done all of that. But then I wrote him a letter. I wrote Rhema Bible College a letter, and I said, hey, I'm in prison. I got no money. But I said, I'll make it right when I get out of here. And they sent me Kenneth Hagin's How to Have Bible Faith workbook. It's about yay thick, you know, about this size. And it changed my whole entire life. And then Stan Van Dyne, that comes to church here, he paid for me to go through their correspondence class where I'd, you know, every month I'd, you know, read through their books and take their tests and whatnot. But it taught me how to win. It taught me about victory. It taught me about how to deposit the word of God in my heart and speak it out of my mouth. And how to live above and not beneath. How to live a victorious life, not a defeated life. And it was funny because I remember I'd tell all the other guys, I'm like, man, you got to get a hold of this stuff. They'd order the books, and then I'd see the books chucked in the corner. They didn't even know what they had their hands on. Religion, it's such a powerful force. Oh, you trying to be like God? No, I'm not trying to be like God. But I'm trying to operate the way he operates. He's my father. I'm his son. The son does what the father tells him to do. Amen? And I sat on my back porch and I got in the word and it said, delight thyself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. My desire was to be home with my wife and my little boy. And they said that was impossible. I ended up getting a different attorney, got us back in court. Prison sentence got reduced from 7 years down to 3.5. Then I wanted to get home back to South Dakota so I wasn't 2,000 miles away from my family. Stood on Mark 11, 23 and 24. Began to get a vision of seeing myself going on a van, Interstate Compact, up to Sioux Falls. Saw myself getting out of that van into the prison up here. Saw myself sitting in a room where I was visiting with Melissa and Noah, you know, when he was a little kid. Giving my what I hope for, I was giving that what I hope for substance. I was bringing that faith into existence. And I'd tell people, I'm going back to South Dakota. And they'd think, whatever. And then one day, lo and behold, hearts, pack it up. Where are you going? I said, I'm going back home. They told me it was impossible. It's too much money. Your time's too short. We're not going to do any of that, but we serve a God of the impossible. Amen? And it's getting back to our roots, the word of faith that we preach. That changes people's lives. Amen? It's not being a loser and defeated and downtrodden all the time. It's about being above. Again, we serve a God that's a champion, that never loses, that wins at everything. And that's how we're to be as well. Amen? And I know I'm a coach, and I know I get fired up, but it's time to get fired up. Amen? Amen? Say, I'm fearless. I'm full of faith. And I'm surrounded by favor. Amen. I got way off track here, so let's try to bring it back. Again, it's not about commanding God. I know people, when they hear things about, you know, word of faith, again, like it's a movement or it's some weird whatever. No, it's none of that stuff. It's about taking the word of God, depositing into your heart, speaking out of your mouth, and creating your world. What's attractive about that? When you walk around, people should be attracted to the love and the joy and the peace, the healthy marriage, the healthy relationship that you've got with your kids. They should be attracted to that. I'm not saying it's going to be all perfect and all rainbows and unicorns, but I look at so many families' lives out here that I would be attracted to if I was a non-believer. I would want what you have. And that's what it's about. It's about building God's kingdom, amen? Attracting other people into the kingdom because they would want what we've got. The spiritual understanding, amen? Being fearless, full of faith, and surrounded by favor.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning service at 9:30, as well as our midweek service on Wednesday nights at 7. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.